I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Virtual episode of Teen Mom OG's After Show. I'm your host, Mackenzie Fain, and I have a great panel today. Want to introduce yourself, Bree?
You see the Teen Mom Young and Pregnant After Show back in the day, and a little bit of the Teen Mom 2 After Show. Me and Mackenzie actually used to host that a couple years ago back at the studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, excited to be here today.
So exciting. I mean, there's this episode of Teen Mom OG. We're going to catch up with the first couple episodes, and then we're going to jump right into season 8, episode 16, To the Rescue, that aired last night. This season so far for me has just been such a whirlwind. I feel like they're jam-packing so much into this season so far, which is so exciting for us viewers because that's exactly what we want to see when we watch Teen Mom OG, all the drama, and that's what they're giving us. So this episode for me was just insane, but let's back up a little bit and I'll just refresh your memory on what has happened thus far in the first couple episodes. We're not too far into the season. But we have Mackenzie, who has a lot of issues with her husband, Josh. He admits to cheating, which was a huge shock, I feel like, for her, obviously, and for a lot of us. Mackenzie says she's done in one of the episodes before. She talks about wanting a divorce, filing papers. And to me, it seemed that Mackenzie's family was extremely supportive of Josh and just very forgiving. I know a lot more so than my family would ever be. What do you think, Bree? Like, if your husband cheated on you, would your family back him because you have three kids?
I think my parents are traditional, so they would definitely want us to, maybe take the appropriate steps. I don't think they would have forgiven like her family did. I think that more so than her family, though, I was like surprised at how her friends were reacting because they were kind of like upset with her almost for being upset with him.
Oh my God. Thank you. Because I literally was sitting there and I'm like, these friends are. I understand supporting your friend and I understand like wanting her to have a happy family and everything. And I don't so much want to say that they should have pushed her out of this relationship because they have gotten back on track and they're doing a great job, but I do think it'd be nice to be mindful of what he has done and that there needs to be some repercussions and there needs to be a buildup.
Yeah. Like, I think you could have said, hey, I completely understand where you're coming from and you have every right to react in however you choose. I do feel like you guys going to some counseling or something or doing this retreat could be good for you and just to find out where you stand. But again, I support you in whatever you choose to do. Like, that kind of response would have been much better in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, Josh does want to work on things with Mackenzie, and he sends her flowers, and to like her sister who she's FaceTiming, Whitney, it's like a huge deal. Which just blew me away. I'm like...
Like the littlest thing.
Yeah, flowers is nothing.
When I feel like... That every day. I feel like this is like so many people in this franchise, like, or at least in this season right now. The whole thing is like, I should be able to do whatever I want and there should be no like repercussions for what I do. Like, I feel like every single story almost has someone like this in it right now.
Yes, I totally agree. It's crazy. I mean, I am very proud of her, I will say, for what, putting her foot down and finally getting to the point where she feels like she can leave him and wants to leave him. Because I feel like when you get to that point where you can say, I don't need you, I don't need to stay in this relationship, then that's when you can kind of figure out if you can work past it or not, because that there's not this whole I need you kind of deal going on. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, I'm making sure I mute so that I don't get any feedback in the meantime. But yeah, Absolutely, totally understand what you mean. Because it's nice that he's stepping up now, but it shouldn't take this to step up. And I worry about the future for them. Like, is hopefully he's changed. Hopefully this just like knocked some sense into him and he like came, you know, it seems like, you know, he's gotten religious, so a come to Jesus moment. But I don't know, there's just still that little fear that like, what if this is just for now?
Yeah, because you think of how typical is it is once one significant other gets over the other, then it's the chase. Then it's, okay, now there's a chase, so now I want to be with them. So that's yeah. where it gets sticky. You just don't know. Is he just being and him, like this?
Him leaving his son's birthday was such a, to me, I could, like, that spoke more to me than, like, oh, I got you flowers and now I want to go on this marriage retreat. Like, the fact that you couldn't stick around for your son's birthday, for at least for him to sing happy birthday.
Yes. Oh, that broke my heart so badly. Another part that really broke my heart, too, though, and it really put into perspective, I mean, she does have three kids with him, and when Gannon says, Mommy, I want Daddy to come home because he's not living there, you know, I didn't ever think of that point or part of it. Like, Mom has to deal with the kids missing the dad, and what do you say to the kids? Your dad cheated? Like, no. So it's confusing, and then it's like the mom just wants the happy family. She just wants her kids to be happy. So it's so difficult for her, and I do feel
yeah, it's
for it,
it's definitely not easy when you have kids.
No. Another point in these leading up episodes that really, really rocked me. And I don't know about you guys out there watching, but this floored me. I was almost so mad watching this part that I'm going to talk about, that I almost needed to like take a breather from it because I was so aggravated. And it was the part, the scene where Bentley goes golfing with Ryan McKenzie and his grandparents, Jen and Larry. And, you know, Ryan is just so immature. And I think we all know that. And I think that's been established throughout very clearly. But this just took it to a whole nother level. I mean, he's bickering with Bentley over, and I don't really know golf terms, but somebody was up one putt or two or something, and they're arguing over one or two, and Bentley is very adamant about that it's one, and Ryan's like laughing at him and just talking down to him, telling him no, it's two, and blah blah blah, and just laughing at him. And you can just see Bentley's getting so frustrated, and Mackenzie is joining in on the laughing, and Janet, like, nobody's sticking up for this kid. And I just could not help myself but think, what is Macy going to say when she sees this? Because it's literally like this little 10-year-old boy is getting bullied by his dad, and it was so sad to watch.
And his dad sits there afterwards and it's like, oh my god, we had such a great time. It's like, did you not read the room? Like, oh, your parents were getting mad at you. I was surprised that his wife, like Mackenzie, wasn't understanding what was going on.
Me too. You said it, because I couldn't believe she was sitting there laughing. But, and I hate to be the one to say this, but I mean, it takes somebody to be with somebody like Ryan. I mean, he's shown his true colors so many times that there's no way to give that guy like any hope, I feel like. And I always really have liked Mackenzie, his wife, and I think she's great and stable and a great mom and all these things, but that to me was like, okay, well, maybe they are meant to be, because to laugh at a 10-year-old like that in that manner is so insane to me.
And also just like, it's like you care more about winning. That's what it felt like. You care more about winning than this quality time you're spending with your son, and to have like a good impression of your son. And you're so wrapped up in that because you had fun, because you won, like you're oblivious to everything else.
And the thing is, he's 10. I don't know who was really right. I wish somebody that, like, if you guys are out there and you know golf and you could have understood who was right in that situation, let us know in the comments below.
Yeah, we do have some people in the chat right now. We have Charlie M, Michelle Bowser, and Jean Welsom. Jean says Ryan really doesn't know how to be a parent, which is 100%. No.
That is 100% true. And it's like, I was just going to say to that point, because he could have taken that opportunity to explain to him in a loving way why that's not right, or why he's wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think Bentley's right, but that's just me.
I don't know enough about golf.
Me either. But we move on to Cheyenne's situation, where Matt has a change of heart about living together and he wants to move in together. Do we think, and maybe some people can reply in the chat, do we think that Matt wants to move in with Cheyenne because he's having a hard time finding an apartment? Or
I mean, maybe, but I also feel like maybe it's because it's on television. It feels like they've been together a while. And if he's going to make the step to move out to LA, I don't really understand why she wants to put a halt on moving in together.
Yep, I totally agree. And she had been asking for it for so long. But, you know, if you do follow the show, you do know that they're not together anymore. And we're obviously going to walk through with this season their breakup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's apparent. So I think it's very clear to us to be able to know that they're not together and to realize that these are the things that were happening.
Yeah, it feels like if you feel this uncomfortable with you guys of being together that long, and he's going to make this move out to LA, which it seems like he's making the move for her, not for himself, then if you're having hesitations about that, then you maybe should have rethought the relationship at that point, and because it would suck for him to move all the way out, and then you weren't feeling him anymore. But maybe he was not just moving for her, so.
Well, I guess we'll see how it plays out then. I don't really know. But another thing we want to touch upon is the fact that Corey tells Cheyenne her focus has shifted and it's not on Ryder anymore. Then apologizes. And, you know, that situation was insane to me.
Baffling.
I get where he's coming from. I do have to say that. I get where he's coming from. I get that he is a stricter parent. I get that there's one in every, you know, parenting situation or two or whatever. But he just has no right to have said it the way he did. But he caught himself and he apologized, so I give him credit.
I don't know. Like, I understand being, like, concerned. Like, when he was just explaining it, like, I want us to be the same rules and have the same boundaries at both of our houses so that she doesn't feel like she can get away with certain things here, or so that she doesn't come over to my house or your house and act a certain way. I got that, but then saying you're not present enough when Cheyenne, like, literally is in this child's life, like, I would say if we're narrowing it down, because I can't think of in week terms, but, like, say within a day, if a day was a week, she's there 22 of the 24 hours.
Yeah.
And Corey, like, I mean, Corey's a great dad, but he's not as present in her life. He doesn't have as much custody. So, and, you know, we've seen in the past where he's not there. He goes on trips and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I think Corey's great. But it just, that statement and the way he said it in that way just was out of line to me.
So out of line. Yeah, I mean, it really was. I think it's hard for us to understand, but then if you put it into perspective a little bit, like, Corey's ego is a thing. And I think in that conversation, he had good intentions at first, and then his ego caught up to him and he just kind of word vomited, probably. And it just didn't come out very well.
Yeah, him. It's like, especially you had time. Put the conversation in your head before you actually have it.
You had a conversation with Taylor about it before. How did this come out?
Well, Cheyenne seemed to take it, like, she felt like a little, like, about it, the conversation at first, but she seemed to be like, okay, I'm going to go with you, until he said that one thing.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and how could you not?
Yeah.
So Cheyenne puts on this amazing event to raise money for VLCAD, this genetic, or this rare disorder that Ryder has been dealing with since birth, and she's talked about it a lot. And I mean, this girl can put on an event. She did an amazing job. So that was really, really cool to see. Kate had planned a surprise anniversary trip to Hawaii for her and Tyler, surprises him with a vow renewal, which was so cool, so beautiful. I love Tyler. I think he's just so...
I'm so happy that they're still together. I'm happy that they've been able to work things out throughout the years, because I feel like they're the only couple still together with this entire franchise.
Yeah, it's insane. They need like an award, a Teen Mom award.
Like, I wonder, like, not to veer off subjects, it's just I do wonder if giving up their first daughter is the reason that they were able to stay together. Because it didn't have that added stress.
I would be 95% sure that that is true. Like, if they had kept her, I don't think their lives would have panned out this way.
Yeah. True.
I don't at all. But, okay, so Amber, big, huge, crazy scene that we all are dealing with this whole season is her fight with Andrew. And this whole domestic violence case with James involved, her baby, and, you know, I mean, this is just a lot to take in. But we have a whole episode to fit right in here. Now, this is last night's episode. We're going to go into season 8, episode 16, To the Rescue. We start out with Amber's audio from the fight is leaked on the internet, and it's the fight between her and Andrew, and she's saying, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna blow you up, and he's just like, can you not do this in front of the baby? And she just lost it. So now in the beginning of this episode, the producers kind of do this thing where they take you through all the other Teen Mom's reaction to this leaking footage or audio. And you know, I really applaud Corey because I think he said something really great. He said that he feels like Andrew was poking her. And I do agree with that. And I agree with all the girls. So essentially all of them really just say that it wasn't right. It was wrong. But she wasn't she has a problem. Like, she's going through something and it's bad and she needs help. And I think it's so right. I think Andrew knew that. And I think he like poked and prodded her. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense at all, but what do you have any thoughts, Brie?
I mean, I'm just going to call it to the chat a little bit here. Jean, yeah, in our chat is saying, you know, totally he's Team Andrew on this. Amber can't ever accept anything she's ever done wrong. And like, I understand that she does have a mental issue or mental issues. And I understand that maybe he's blowing things, you know, out, or taking things to an extent that he shouldn't take it to. But I do agree, and I think even Gary said it too, is like, what you did is not okay, and yeah, you can't keep blaming, well, I have these issues, and that's what, so people need, it's almost like sometimes she makes it sound like, because I have these issues, people need to be okay with me reacting in these ways,
No, that's the perfect way to say it, I feel like, because that's so true. You can't use it as a crutch as well, because there's really no excuse for it. But I did really also like what Macy said. She said, you know, he should have been helping her, not recording her and egging her on.
Yeah, the way he is reacting, I don't also agree with. And I don't think that it's fair to use your child as a tool, which is, I feel, what he's doing. But I think, and I like that we have Amber on the show as a way to bring light to mental illness and to shed a light on how things can go, and that, because I feel like people don't have education on it. But I think that when it comes to this kind of scenario where it's a violent scenario that a child was involved with, like, that's, it's making, it gets to an uncomfortable point.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. It's insane. And you know, when you do bring a child into the mix, it just kind of changes everything, I think. You know, Caitlin, even she says she realizes, you know, that she's having some triggers with hearing it from her childhood, which makes a lot of sense. And she doesn't know how to support a friend going through something like this. So she goes to her psychiatrist for help. And I just have to say, I usually have such an issue with these psychiatrists and therapists that these people bring on the show. But this one I really like. In the past, Caitlin has had the worst therapist ever. I've always like been like, these people should not be doing their this for a living. But, you know, I think it's hard too because Leah can comprehend a lot now. And then Amber gets embarrassed. And I really like how Gary, you know, kind of puts his foot down in these situations. And he's like, well, you can't hide under a rock. Like, she needs you. Life still continues. And that's it. Just because you're embarrassed doesn't mean you can just go hide. Yeah. And then Gary visits her and helps her and, you know, pretty much makes her go to anger management in this episode. And I thought it was so, so great. I do.
I mean, those are the things like that I don't understand with Amber is that how to this point has she not like she's gone to therapy for so long and I have to assume that they're trying to give her coping tools that when she gets to points where she was that night that she can like walk away or do something to. So I'm glad that she went to anger management because hopefully that'll give her tools in the future. But it makes me kind of frustrated that she hasn't gotten those implemented yet when she knows she has this violent past.
So think about it. She goes through these cycles. Amber goes through these cycles of a breakdown, whatever you want to call it, an outbreak, I don't know. And then she gets help and then she's like good for a little while, but then gets into the serious relationship and then it all ends and it was all bad and it was the craziest relationship. And then the cycle continues. She's never just taken time for herself and sorted her brain out, sorted out her issues, sorted out what she has going on.
Yeah.
And so it's just never going to end. So Amber comes out of anger management and comes into perspective, I feel like, for me and for viewers, because think about it. Nobody's going to be a perfect husband and nobody's going to be a perfect wife. And it's going to be tough and you're going to have hard times. And working through things is a part of it. So I think Mackenzie's part in this episode and in this season is really helpful to a lot of people going through a similar situation or, you know, in realizing that you can get through things. If both are willing to work. I mean, it seems like Josh wants to work on it. And like we said, we hope that that's genuine and that stays. But if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're talking about. It's good to show that if you are willing to work, like you said, you can get through things like this. But I think that's such an important phrase, like if you're both, because you also can't like go into it being like, well, he needs to do the work and she doesn't need to do anything. Cause if she needs to forgive and that's the work she needs to do. So if she can get past that, which obviously we know now that they're back together and stuff. So obviously she was able to, but a lot of people can't forgive. A lot of people can't forget and put things aside. So I think that that's also an important thing to take away.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great quality to have too. I know that I'm not a very forgiving person. Like I couldn't ever, like I hold such grudges, I feel like, which is just not a good thing. I'm putting it out to the world that I have this awful quality, but I'm saying that because I commend her for that. It's hard, and I think she's doing a really good job with everything going on. How funny and how crazy did you guys all think it was when he says throw your ring into the water? I was dying. Can we just pawn it? Like, can we like sell it? Can we melt it down? I don't know. That was just so.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, and they're not a couple that's been on this show for, you know, years. They don't have the income as some of these other people are.
No, and I'm just thinking about, like, I don't know, there's a woman out there watching this that would die to have that ring, and she just threw it into the water. So that was just insane. But
I guess like out with the old and with the
yeah. And what I was gonna say, like, that was super cool to me, besides the fact after I got over the cringing of her throwing it into the water, because it's like, oh my god, that's real diamond. Like the producers were even like freaking out about it. But after I got over that, I thought it was so super cool of him, and it was just so cool of her to go with it. And I mean, to me, that was an awesome, awesome moment. And I think she said it best, because she said right after she did it, she goes, "Do you realize how good that felt?" And I think it, for me, like, I watched her and you could just see she was throwing away all her past with him.
Yeah.
All of it, so that they could start over. And Josh is in the woods with a rose, and it was really sweet. And he proposes. I mean, that guy is a man of lips, man, small amount of words, no words.
I agree. It was a really sweet moment. Still think that there could have been a cheaper way to have that moment.
Yes, me too. I know. And I also think, I mean, if I'm going to put in my thoughts, which that's why we're all here, I do think that before the proposal, there could have been a lot more. Maybe we didn't see it, but a more of a build up. Like, you need to prove yourself, buddy. Like, this is very sweet, but a little too soon. I don't know.
Yeah. It maybe it is because of the editing and because of like the way we're seeing it, but it feels very quick.
Very.
Because it was like two episodes of like, you know, he's done, I'm done with him, we're getting divorced, I gave him the papers, and now we're back together. But I feel like that happens a lot on Teen Mom, and I don't know if it's really because they're just so quick to forgive or so quick to turn around, you know.
True.
Or if it's the editing.
And we do know that they went to the couples retreat for those 3 days over the weekend or whatever. And yeah, I mean, who knows what could have happened there. So.
I mean, I wish them the best of luck. Hopefully it continues to work out, like I said.
I mean, she's awesome, that girl. I think she's like such a great mom. Couldn't say enough great things about her. So I totally wish her
the best. She's going through all of this with what's going on with her mom too. Like, you just gotta admire her.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, yes. All I have to say, speechless. So we move on to Macy, who has Bentley, who is turning 11. Can you believe it, you guys? I feel like I watched this baby be born the other day.
I mean, we basically did. So we literally watched him be born. But, I mean, it is crazy. And, like, when you see, because I think it's hard, you know, we don't see Leah on the show that much because Amber doesn't have custody and Gary's not filming as much. We don't see,
That's a really good point. I was gonna let you finish it.
Oh yeah, and Caitlin, and you know, they don't have their first child, and you know, the new two other people on the show now are both have children that are much younger. So really, Bentley is the only one we see that has, like, we've seen from beginning to now.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's so funny. For me, I'm the same age as them. Like, I'm about the same age as them, so like, it's just crazy thinking about what if I had an 11-year-old. That's insane.
Yeah.
But so
he's such an amazing kid, though. I love him on the show.
Oh, I mean, her and Taylor as parents, there's no doubt that those kids are going to be great. I mean, they're awesome, awesome. So Macy invites Mackenzie, Ryan, and obviously Jen and Larry to Bentley's birthday party. Big step. Obviously, we know that there's this order of protection that's almost up, but not quite up yet. But she really wanted to do this. She just said he's a great kid and he really deserves to have his siblings there. And Mackenzie replies back, and she's just really uneasy about the restraining order and kind of this like dancing around text message. Comment below what you thought of that exchange in the beginning, because it was really odd to me. I didn't really understand what she was talking about, Mackenzie. And then Macy kind of said the same thing. She goes, "I don't really know how to reply," which I totally got.
Mackenzie's always rubbed me in a weird way. Like, ever since that... Well, I liked her originally, but ever since that reunion that they had and she, like, had her little written letter to Macy about her, like, being upset with or scared for Ryan for being on drugs. Well, he was on drugs. It just...
Yeah.
And she's all like, "You should have told me." It's like, you were his Like, what are you talking about? I should have told you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ever since
Okay.
that point, like, I don't know. There's something, I
Yeah.
don't.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I just try to give everybody like the benefit of the doubt a lot, but Ryan, like, sorry, you're done.
Yeah.
Macy knows that she talks a little bit about, she knows that the kids are going to be aware of the tension, like all of her kids in whatever situation, but she says it's more important for them to see that they can all come together for important events. And I think that was the motivation to having Ryan be there at the birthday party and Mackenzie with the other kids. So again, it just shows how great Macy is. But then we get Ryan and Larry going at it about the birthday party. And Larry is just so right. And I just don't understand how Ryan is the way he is sometimes, because it's so crazy that he can get so aggravated with his parents but not listen to what they're saying. You know, Ryan says that he went to jail because of the order of protection, because of Macy and Taylor, and he's denying the allegations of him saying that he's going to go over there and blow hit Taylor's head off or whatever.
Ryan takes a zero accountability all of the time.
Zero, zero. And Larry said a great point, and I'm so happy he said this. He goes, I could say a lot of bad things about a lot of people, and I wouldn't go to jail. So there's no way you went to jail because of them saying you said something. That doesn't happen.
The thing is that Ryan, you messed up so many times and you brought this on yourself. Like, no one made you do drugs. You chose to do drugs, which is what started all of this. And until you start taking some accountability, you're never going to change. And what he really needs to do is just sit back and say whatever anybody wants, because he has so much trust to rebuild. And he feels like he can just come out of rehab, come out of prison, and everybody should just, like, accept that he's better now. But it's like, you've shown me time and time again that you can't be trusted, so why should I trust you? And I totally feel for Macy on this. Like, he should give Macy whatever she wants. And, you know, if it's been years and it's still not changing, then do something about it. But this was, like, what, a month ago?
The sad part is, though, I do not think that Ryan is sober. I don't think he's in the state of mind to actually change his relationships or better his relationships with anybody. I
Yeah.
think he's
Jean
the same as he's been for
Jean
years.
agrees with you in the chat. Says Ryan was on something in this episode, and Mackenzie is always trying to protect him, even though she knows he's high on something.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, that's so true. You can tell, and it's just so insane that Mackenzie, I almost want to like shake her. Like, why do you keep having kids with him? Why are you with him? Why are you pretending to have this life that we know you don't have? Like, this perfect life.
I feel like when someone wants something so bad, which I think Mackenzie wants this perfect life, they feel this extra urge to showcase to the world that they do. It's like when you see someone on Facebook overly posting happy couple photos, usually, and not always, but usually if it's excessive like that, there's something not right in their relationship, and their relationship actually isn't doing good at all. I think it's the same with her. Like, the more she protects, the more she stands up for Ryan, the worse their actual behind-the-scenes relationship is.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw it. She posted us an Insta story today or yesterday that I was watching, and it was a picture of her holding baby Stella and then her son Jagger in the front, just like watching TV, and then Ryan's like in the way back, and I just like held on to it just to see like the picture longer, and Ryan is just like slumped over on his phone, like just looks off to me. So I don't know, it's just insane. But I guess we'll see how the birthday party goes, because you know Macy's not going to be able to put up with
I
anything.
think
So
that Ryan, just to add one more little thing, should just, he's not, but I feel like he just should be so appreciative of the fact that Macy continues to still try to make things work so he can be in his son's life. Because most parents, I think by this point, would have been like, you know what, when he's older and can decide for himself, he'll decide that, but for now, you're not going to be in his life.
I would love to hear what Macy thinks, what she thought watching that golfing segment between him and Ryan, because that would
she would be pissed.
Yeah, it's insane. But I mean, Taylor is like God's gift to Earth for that family. He's such a great dad. You see through on social media all the time the videos of Bentley and Taylor playing sports, and you just can see that he has that father figure, and he knows that he knows what it's supposed to be like. So it's just sad.
But yeah, well, I'm just really grateful they have Taylor.
Yes, for sure. So Cheyenne decides that she's launching a clothing line for VLCAD. Super cool. Once again, like, this girl does it all, I feel like. Matt has not found an apartment yet, and I guess things are getting a little bit more tension here and there, she talks about. But she mostly in this episode talks about wanting to start an event planning business, and her mom and grandmother have experience with that. So her and her friend Remy talk to them about it, and they totally support them. Great idea. I can't wait to see that unravel. I mean, she's just so perfect for it, like I've said many times.
I'm so happy that she's bringing light. You know, Macy does it with her thing with, and then I can't think of the name right now, but, and then
GTM.
I'm glad that these girls are using their platforms to, like, spread awareness for these things that aren't talked about.
Oh, you meant PCOS.
Yes, PCOS. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's so cool. It's so great. And Kate with the mental illness, you know, advocating all the time and really talking about it and opening up to her fans is just so cool. These girls really are doing such a great job.
It's so crazy the fact that this is happening on the show right now. And then the challenge, the season that he taped, is airing right now, like, at the same time. And it's already done filming, so you see how, like, far back this was.
Yeah, and then we also should be releasing an article, a Teen Mom News Daily article, talking a little bit about him being away at the challenge and filming. And
well, and then we know that she, you know, is pregnant when he's gone.
Yeah, that's what I was also wondering. Like, did they know at that time, or did she find out when he was away?
I don't know, because they didn't tell, they didn't, like, make it a public thing until, like, right before they got the gender reveal. So she, I think, would have had to have been, like, 3 months in. I think that, I'm trying to remember how long it takes to be able to get the gender, 2 to 3 months. So I don't know if she knew yet or if she was even pregnant when he asked her this.
Okay.
She still hasn't had the baby.
No, she's 38 weeks today.
So I think it could have been very well that she either wasn't or didn't know she was pregnant when he asked this.
Yeah, that's true. I think timing-wise, because she's due in 2 weeks, so I think she would have known. Like, she definitely would have known by the time, because they taped, you think about it, Ryder had gotten sick the beginning of December, and he had gotten back, like, right after that, so middle of December, and it was taping for 2 months, right? So they were probably taping October, November.
Yeah, but the Amber stuff, the leaks came out in August. It's hard to figure out these timelines.
Yeah, it is, but whatever. We'll figure it out. Anyway, it was really cute. So we move on to that whole, you know, I was just going to say, ending with Cheyenne's segment was, it was nice to see a little bit of Taylor, because I don't feel like I've been able to kind of, like, build a relationship with her through watching this show yet, if that makes any sense. I haven't been able to read her very well, and that little moment was really sweet to me. We move on to Kate, who feels very affected, like I said in the beginning, by the leaked audio of Amber's fight. So she goes to see her psychiatrist, and you know, they just kind of show these tweets and all these messages of people saying that Kate and the other girls condone verbal attacking and violence to a partner in front of a child.
Yeah, I think it's hard, because obviously when I heard the audio, you can't, like, there's no way you can condone that at all. Like, it's just so wrong what happened. But, like, I also know that they live in this world where lies and stuff are spread about them all the time. So I don't know if she was like battling with that, because I know like they all eventually came on their social medias and, you know, they said like, you know, she's our friend, we don't condone this. And I don't think like anyone that has a child can condone this, but it's also this person that you've known for a long time, so it's hard. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they didn't know at the time. They didn't hear that leaked audio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like once they did, then they definitely, all of them post on their social media, you know, we don't condone this, but.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, none of them condone it. I don't know. People are just so crazy. They're just. Tyler said it the best. He said, there's a difference between condoning and supporting. He was there for his dad throughout all of his drug things and, you know, illegal crap, and he went to court and he supported him. Does he condone doing heroin or whatever he did? No.
Yeah,
I think there's a fine line with how far you take that, but.
it's very, it's, you know, and, you know, we're not living it. It's not something that we were a part of, so it's harder because we're starting from this like third party view. But, you know, this is somebody that Caitlin and Amber have always been very close. They've always bonded very much over their issues. They both have mental health issues, and I think it's hard when you know a version of someone and then you see this other version that you don't really know, because they don't, you know, they're not around each other 24/7. So I think it's like really hard for Caitlin, because it's like the person I know is not that person in her head, you know.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. It's difficult. It's such a difficult situation. I'm again really glad that we get to watch these difficult situations play out, as unfortunate as they are, but it really you know, sheds light into that these things do happen and how maybe others can handle it. If you have a friend going through something like this, how is Caitlin handling it? Or, you know, there are benefits to being able to see these things, I really do believe, even though they're really hard to deal with and really hard to see.
Yeah, I don't think
But
anyone can listen to the audio or like see the text messages and be like, you know what? I think Amber was in the right. Like, no one thinks Amber is in the right on this. Like,
no.
100%, she's 100% in the wrong. She needs to like I said, like, no one's taking accountability in all of these situations. She's the person that needs to start taking accountability for her own actions. And if she needs to go somewhere and get help like Caitlin did. Like, Caitlin went away for when she got really bad. She went away for months and she got the help she needed. So, Amber, like, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to take a step back and you need to go away and, like, not focus on relationships or filming or this, because also, because she kept saying, well, this stuff being leaked is going to affect my children. But it's like, if you hadn't have done that, you wouldn't have to worry about that. So
Yeah.
I think Caitlin could be a huge asset to her right now of like, this is what you should do, because she's been there when she's gotten to that
She's
point.
been there, but the difference between them is I think Amber has a lot more going on than Caitlin, just because I think Amber has the anger management, like the anger. Like, Caitlin never
Yeah, Caitlin has the
hit
depression
anything.
point.
Yeah, to hurt anybody else. Like, she wanted to harm herself, so she needed to get help with that. But Amber has that on top of like all these diagnosed mental illnesses and anger and suicide thoughts, just everything. So she really needs to just go get help
Yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah, I think she needs to stop thinking about anything else but like, I need to go and get to a point where I can not be afraid that I will do this again.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this was a crazy episode. I mean, they jam-packed a ton into this episode and the previous episodes, just in the beginning of the season. So I'm super excited to see where this all plays out, where these girls end up. I do have a little bit of news and gossip for you. So, Ryder turned 3 yesterday on April 7th. Corey and Cheyenne celebrated their little girl with a birthday party, quarantine style, like we all are. Hence the virtual setup over here. And No family or friends were there, but they called in video chat and watched Ryder open her birthday presents, which was such a great idea. So cute. And then we talked a little bit about earlier, but Taylor Selfridge is 38 weeks pregnant today. That's insane. Her and Corey's new baby girl will be making her grand appearance in the next couple of weeks. I feel like this chick has been pregnant for so long. I don't know. I've been seeing her on social media pregnant for so long now. I can't believe she's still pregnant, but only 30.
Such a crazy time to be.
But so cute. Hope.
Having a baby and be pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It really, really is crazy. So, do you want to do a little bit of predictions for next week? Do you have any that you could possibly throw out?
I definitely am predicting we're going to have to, if we've gotten to the place where we know the challenge is happening, we're going to get to the place where I'm really looking forward to seeing Corey tell Cheyenne that Taylor is pregnant. Just because he said, oh, she said this, but I feel like they had to have caught that on camera. So I want to see really, was she okay with it? Because I know she was always wanting to have the next baby. I'm intrigued to see how this is all going to play out with Ryan and Macy. I don't think it's going to play out well. I think Ryan's going to let his ego get to him like he always does. And I think, you know, Caitlin is going to really need to lean on her friends and family and therapists right now, because I think that with the whole Amber stuff coming out, like, she's going to have a really hard time with it. Continued.
Oh, I totally agree. My predictions would be, this will help Caitlin, everything with Amber will help Caitlin become stronger in her own mental health by helping and watching Amber go through this tough time. I really just think this could just help her, and help her, I don't know, build herself up in that sense. I wonder if Taylor will see Ryder while Corey is gone. So we'll see how that relationship plays out and if Taylor's help to Cheyenne or not.
But I feel like, and I might be wrong, but I feel like Taylor maybe went away to her family or something while Corey was gone. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see. Or I'm sure they'll say something about something. We'll see. But on the next, which I'm really excited, like I keep saying, this season has just really blown me away. Sometimes there's been some Teen Mom 2 seasons where have been a little lagging in the beginning for me. But this one's so great. So on the next, Macy admits that Ryan did not look sober at Bentley's birthday party. Shocker, everyone. Whoa. Mackenzie is getting back into a past hobby, which is exciting for her, which just kind of gives me the thought that she's really taking the steps to become her own person, regardless of the fact that her and Josh are working on their relationship. So that's a really good sign in my eyes. Kate doesn't want their friend that they bailed out of jail to sit around the house and do nothing all day. So she tells her that it's not going to make her happy. Amber goes to court and Cheyenne has a talk with Matt about where the relationship stands. So I think that next week we get the boot. Matt gets the boot, but we'll see.
Just shouting out everyone in our chat today. Thank you for joining, Jean, Michelle. Beautiful boy. It's been great having you, watching you chat along. Jean's prediction is that I'm not 100% sure, hopes that MTV takes a stand against domestic violence and finally fires Amber. But thank you guys for chatting along with us. If you can go ahead and make sure, give us a thumbs up if you're watching us on YouTube. Like us, send a comment. If you are on iTunes, give us those 5 stars. That would really mean a lot to us. Leave a comment there as well. We love hearing from you guys.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like Bree said, like, comment, subscribe, all the things above. It'll really help us out, and we're excited for next week. Thank you guys so much. Bree, where can we find you?
You guys can find me at Bree, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere.
Everywhere. She goes everywhere. you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, anything, at Mackenzie Fain. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll be here virtually next week. Have a good one.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup.